Live from Los Angeles, it's the at-home edition of the Life Changes Show. With tonight's guest, author and life coach, Krista Neresten. And musical guest, my dear Wendy. I am Mark Legere, and now our host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
I've been looking forward to this show, and interestingly enough, when I was a kid, I heard a song that I instantly connected with, and it was written by several writers, one of whom was Barry Manilow, who ended up singing the song, and I'm grateful to these writers and to Barry and the company that put this out. At the time, I connected with the song, but one can hardly say that I was in the place that the song was describing. And yet now I'm feeling like I'm in such a good place that I almost feel like I can sing this song. Interestingly enough, I haven't thought about it in a long time until I was speaking with our guest before the show. And I thought, wow, she's definitely in a good place with so many of the stories she's sharing. And so it reminded me of this song. And I did try and sing it once, not try and sing it. I brought it at an event I was going to do. And I said, I want to sing this song. What do you all think? And they said, no, it's corny. It's Barry Manilow. And I thought, yeah, what? You know, what's wrong with Barry Manilow? And maybe we need some corny, but I don't think it's corny at all. And I'm not going to sing it for you, but I am going to share some of the words. And you, maybe you, as you listen to our guest today, maybe it'll connect. I Made It Through the Rain by Barry Manilow and several other writers. We dreamers have our ways of facing rainy days, and somehow we survive. We keep the feelings warm, protect them from the storm until our time arrives. Then one day the sun appears and we come shining through those lonely years. When friends are hard to find and life seems so unkind, sometimes you feel afraid. Just aim beyond the clouds and rise above the crowds and start your own parade. 'Cause when I chased my fears away, that's when I knew that I could finally say, I made it through the rain. I kept my world protected. I made it through the rain. I kept my point of view. I made it through the rain and found myself respected by the others who got rained on too and made it through. We'll be right back with our guest, Krista Neresten, and our musical guest, my dear Wendy, on the Life Changes Show at Home Edition right after this.
Have you felt inspired to meditate but you just can't? Do you suffer from anxiety, but fidget toys just make you more fidgety? Want to replace negative self-talk in your head that keeps bringing you down? Introducing the latest self-help solution, Phi Beads. Transformational beaded jewelry inspired by ancient wisdom, science, math, and psychology. All Phi Beads are designed to incorporate the powerful Fibonacci sequence, nature's mathematical formula that has shaped our existence from the beginning of time. The Fibonacci sequence, also known as the golden mean or the golden ratio, is recognized by our conscious and unconscious mind and resonates as order out of chaos, like you see in plants, flowers, seashells, ocean waves, the pyramids, and in our own body. Not only beautiful, they feel good to wear. Phi Beads can help anchor tranquility, positivity, focus, and structure in your life by doing the Phi Meditation. Phi Meditation helps you harness the power of I Am for intention, affirmation, and manifestation. Affirm the life you want. Get your set of Phi Beads at PhiBeads.com. That's Phi, P-H-I, Beads.com. You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Vortex Dome LA on the BBS Radio Network with your host, the Master of Change, Filippo Voltaggio. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows on our archive page at lifechangeshow.com, which include luminaries such as comedian Michael Collier, actress Gabriella Wright, performing artist James Hood, and author Ken Honda. Email your comments and questions to info@lifechangesnetwork.com or askdorothy@lifechangesshow.com. You can also comment via Twitter @LifeChangesShow and Facebook @TheLifeChangesShow.
This show is titled Indestructible, The Hidden Gifts of Trauma. And I'm excited because our guest is author and life coach, Krista Nerestant. So welcome, Krista, to the show.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Hi, Krista. Oh my gosh.
It's an eventful intro. Yeah.
You know, it's interesting. So as I'm learning about your story and the story that you share from a place of this was for me and now this is for you kind of thing. Tell me if that's true.
Correct. I mean, when I wrote Indestructible, The Hidden Gifts of Trauma, it obviously is a very vulnerable position to be in to author such a book, right? And I did decide to pen my experiences in, you know, understanding that my experiences was bigger than me and it served me. And so now I would like to help others by sharing my story and sharing the resources that I had in my arsenal to overcome and thrive in a life rather than go on in survival mode. And that's where Destructible, The Hidden Gifts of Trauma was founded from.
So your story has so many elements in it that are important for today. They're important for women. They're important for young adults. And they're important for all of us because on some level, we are all experiencing something. And you lay out so many tips and resilience builders and steps. Where did you come upon the knowledge that that you have imparted in this book? Was it part of the process? Did you learn from other people? All of the above?
It was. So the book and the traumas that I've experienced, major ones anyway, that I had experienced was as a child, right? And so suffering from PTSD from those specific traumas, you know, that range from physical abuse, mental abuse, emotional abuse, you know, growing up under a household of an alcoholic father and a non-existent mom growing up, it was very emotionally and physically abusive. And so as an adult, and I continued to succeed and thrive, I actually had a couple of people, when I was sharing little tidbits of my story as an immigrant and, you know, how I arrived in the States and, you know, shared a little bit of my story, they're like, excuse me, how are you? Okay. You know, how are you? Let's break this down. And, you know, as a survivor, which almost everyone is a survivor, right? Everybody's a survivor. You've survived a trauma some way, somehow you've gotten here, right? We've all experienced, it's all relative. And I'm not here to compare traumas in regards to how severe, or if it's trauma, it's a trauma in your life. So, but as a survivor, we're so used to just continuing to move, to bulldoze through life and just to keep moving and passing on. And I recognize, holy moly, like I do have to start processing and understand, you know, what gift did that 6-year-old have to continue to want to survive and not only survive, but thrive, right? What gift did that 8-year-old use to overcome that abuse? What did that 12-year-old use, right, to overcome bullying? and get through that bullying and still continue to have self-love in the process and continue to heal and fight, not only for herself, but for her community, you know, for the community that I had, which were my siblings. I'm one of five. Right. Mm. And so that's when I really got down to the nitty gritty. And I realized as I, you know, as I started the process and writing these stuff down, I realized, holy moly, I need to share this. I need to, you know, do it in a way where it's not narcissistic. I had to do it in a way where it's not a rant, you know, mm-hmm. And really advocate that you are powerful and that the brilliance of your human spirit is so powerful that you not only chose to survive, but to also thrive. And in that process, in that understanding of your light, you healed.
Nice. So we were talking about, before the show, you and I were talking about how different cultures can give us so much good and so much good food and fun and spirituality and all that. And at the same time, every culture has something that we might want to change as we're developing. So since culture weighs so much into some of the experiences and the way you handled some of the experiences, I have to wonder, in even thinking about writing the book and sharing the story, what role did culture play? Was it like, oh, wow, a woman's not supposed to say, or we don't talk like that?
Oh, it's tremendous. It was a tremendous decision for me to decide. But again, you know, I wanted to create and write and tell my story with respect, with honor, and not devaluing, you know, my country and not devaluing my culture, but being very honest with it too. And being honest with the realities that there were some things that were really off, you know, growing up in the Philippines and growing up in that culture where, you know, I did say this in the book, there's a line in my book that, you know, there was no such thing as abuse in my country. You know, it was just dubbed discipline. You know, and there was a lot of, you know, the double standard was very much in play. And I know we have that here in the U.S. too, but even more so to me in the Philippines, growing up in the Philippines, women are supposed to be subservient to men and, you know, all of that. And so when I migrated to the U.S., I recognized the freedom and the ability of my gender here, and I recognize, okay, there's some traditions that I want to keep and there's traditions that I do not want to be near mm-hmm. me mm-hmm. but I honored it all. I did not you know, again, I wrote from that space of raw and honest truth, but without disrespecting my past and disrespecting the culture, you know. I have family who have read the books. I've read my book, and you know, they didn't shine them in a great light because that was the truth at that moment, right? But they were proud of the fact that, okay, yeah, that was in their proudest moment, but that was the truth. That was a perspective of truth. And they're proud of me, though, right? Because I didn't write from that perspective of like I blame you or I hate you. It was just an experience, and that was the truth at that moment.
So, Indestructible, the hidden gifts of trauma. What are a couple of the gifts of the trauma? We talked a little bit about that.
I mean, the gifts are so many, but I talk about the gifts of resilience, the gifts of compassion, right? The gift of the gift of change, the gift of forgiveness, the gift of self-love. I mean, these are, I really go into harnessing these gifts to use time and time and time again. And these are gifts that you have within you. It's just a matter of applying implementing and taking action on it.
Yeah, because I could see those are all amazing gifts, and yet at the same time, I could see so many people who don't even see, like, how can you get even one of those from the trauma, right?
Yeah. So the so when people ask you, like, how do you even put the gifts and trauma together?
Right.
You know, it is a wordplay for me. It's a wordplay for me. I am a very optimistic person. And my company, Selfish Lifestyle, the foundations of Selfish, is your perspective becomes your reality. You are equipped with everything you could ever need, right? So your perspective, what's your perspective like, right? And so my in the process of throughout writing this book and going back and really unpacking my past, I recognized that, you know, it was this ability to be always be optimistic of my future and understanding that I will survive this. And when the time comes, I will proceed with myself intact. Right. And that's what does that come down to? Self-love. Right. I actually had somebody tell me, well, yeah, this is all self-love, right? Resilience, self, you know, resilience, courage, faith. This is all like the ability to gain self-love. I said, right. But, and she's like, what if nobody taught you self-love? What, like, nobody showed you what self-love is? And I said, well, that's the issue. It's an instinct. This is instinctual. Not, my six-year-old didn't know what self-love was. My six-year-old's idea of self-love was survival, was to hold on to survival. So that moment that you said no to an abusive partner, the moment that you said enough, the moment that you said, you know, you made a decision to either stop or continue something. It's a communication within your soul, within your spirit, within yourself, right? It doesn't have to be some, it doesn't have to be some biblical proportion type of situation. It could be as mundane as, okay, I will have that glass of wine instead of that bottle. Or it could be that moment where you decide, you say no to someone who has taken advantage of you for so long, right? That's exercising self-love. And so what you want to do is recognize that and do more of that. Do more of that, right? Keep doing more of that, and it will escalate and it'll move on. But it starts from somewhere. But you first have to recognize it.
So you mentioned your company, and you mentioned the word selfish. And so I know what you mean by selfish. They're selfish and they're selfish. Let's talk about that.
So selfish, I created because I really wanted, again, to disrupt, you know, society's idea of selfish and really condoning it to be bad, which we've been conditioned almost to be guilty or you know, to be guilty of putting ourselves first. And and I really wanted to shift that because as the older you get, the more you more roles you have to play. And if you are not in your best and highest good and your most optimal level of being, then what good are you for anybody else? Right. So, And not just as a being, but right. As like me, like, let's just the many roles that I wear as an entrepreneur, as a boss, as a mother, as a wife, as a friend, as a sister, as a coach, right. All these roles that I play, if I do not hold myself accountable, hold myself responsible and be very self-aware of where I am at, you know, in the levels of physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual level, then how can I continue to do the work and exist and impact in the way I want to impact? So the people around me, and especially the person that's staring, you know, in front of that mirror, that reflection, right? And so that's why I created Selfish. And that's why I advocate. That's what I promote. And it's about filling yourself up so much that you are serving from the overflow of your cup rather than just the, you know, rather than from your cup itself. Right.
I totally agree. And it's interesting that it doesn't have to be a bad thing that you're saying no for yourself. It could actually be a good thing. And this is so present today in my life right today. There's so much going on and it's all good and I'm excited about it all. And I love doing it all. And I just had a birthday and I love that I have. Thank you.
That's awesome.
I love that I have beautiful people in my life who want to take me out to dinner or lunch or this or that. And I have had to say, actually I've had a couple interview offers and I've had to say no to the interviews. Please ask me again in a couple months or whatever. And to the dinners, thank you. I appreciate it. I love the thought and I can't do that right now. And as fun as it would be to be with them and as much as I know where they want to take me and I just have to say no for me because I have to take care of myself.
Yes. And that's amazing, you know, and I think all of us should do that. Every single one of us should do
that. We should all be so lucky that, you know, people want to take us out to dinner and we can't go.
Right.
But, you know. But even good things, I'm saying, you know, just being able to do what you're saying for the bad things that you don't want and even for the things that you do want, because you have to take care of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And
you are your longest commitment.
To them.
Yeah, you are your longest commitment, right? And you are, you know, first and foremost responsible for you. And there's a fine line between helping and enabling and compassion. And it's really, you know, here's the deal. Be kind. You know, you hear this all the time. Be kind, be loving, be compassionate, right? And so everybody takes that to the next level of, like, just giving, 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 give, give. And it's like, well, how about we practice kindness, love, and compassion and to you first? Because how can you do that for others if you are not doing it for yourself? How do you know? How do you know that act? How do you know how that can impact and really feel if we don't do that for ourselves?
Nice. I'm loving this conversation and talking with you, Krista. And there's so much more to obviously your story and your the examples that you give and for example, there's so much, and I'd love to touch on all of them, but if we can just one of the seven tips for overcoming your trauma and loving yourself. And I have to ask you before you answer it, is it going to be one that you discovered that you had as a child?
No, I believed I discovered, like, truly healing, you know, as an adult. I had to process that as an adult.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I mean, I didn't get to forgiveness until the end, you know, at 34 years old, you know. But, you know, surprisingly, you'd be very surprised at how many people a lot older than that, who just held on to resentment, held on to the anger because of that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? And they just refused to forgive. And that's your journey. But yes, there are many resources. There are many, but it's a journey. They all kind of work together. Right? They all kind of work together.
So you're saying one of the seven tips for overcoming trauma and loving yourself is forgiving. And who are you forgiving, and why are you forgiving?
Well, now I forgive everybody. Like, once I discovered that, I was like, this is amazing! Once I discovered that, oh my gosh, it was like, oh yeah, like it was another, like a superpower gain. But I forgave my father, right? My father was the villain, right? And that villain in my book, And it took me a long time. It took me a long time. It took me to write this book. It took me to really dig deep and unpack to recognize, holy moly, I was holding on for 30 years, this anger, this resentment. And you know what was so crazy was that I didn't even realize that anger had turned into rage. I didn't even, it was subconscious. You know, I thought it was just anger. And anger can be good for you, right? It's a motivator. It riles you up. It allows you to take action and kind of ignite that fire within you, right? To exercise that empowerment, that fire within. But I didn't recognize that holding on to it for years had turned into rage. And I was actually, suffering from PTSD. And then I realized I got to let it go. I got to let this go. Not for him, because now I can't blame him now, right? I'm an adult. I haven't seen the man in 15 years or even, like 20 years. And yet his memories and his past actions still somehow, not all, but somehow, some way dictated my future. And I could no longer have that. That takes now. I was responsible for that reality. And so, forgiveness is the ultimate gift, the ultimate hidden gifts of trauma. And that's who I had to forgive. And now when I'm triggered, I understand now, in the practicing of living a selfish lifestyle, I recognize, okay, where does reflection come in? Where am I being triggered in a way where I need to then process and recognize what is it about that experience that is allowing me to feel like this, right? And this is not an easy journey. I'm not going to sit here and pretend that healing is easy and processing is easy. But you come out as a superhuman at the end. And this is literally becoming superhuman, right? And allowing you to not attach to the experience, but to gain perspective from it. It's not about holding on to the pain or holding on to the suffering that one experience had caused, but to detach enough, the pain is gone. We let go of the pain, but we gain the wisdom of that experience. Because you,
Chris,
got through that, yeah. That's it.
Krista, good on you. Obviously, there is so much here. If you're liking what you're hearing, the book is called Indestructible, The Hidden Gifts of Trauma. Krista herself has a podcast, Self Care Tuesdays, and she teaches women it's okay to be self-ish, amongst other things. She teaches all kinds of people. You can go to self-ish, and that's self-ish-lifestyle.com to learn more about Krista and her work. Krista Naristant, we'll be right back with a little bit more with her when we come back. In the next segment, we're going to have our Ask Dorothy question. And later on in the show, our musical guest, my dear Wendy, is here with us live on the Life Changes Show at Home Edition right after this.
The Little Dog That Could is the fantastically true story of a man and the little dog that came into his life as his mentor to help him understand the world beyond his human senses and to experience life, love, and healing beyond his human understanding. Best-selling author Filippo Voltaggio, who currently hosts the highly regarded Life Changes Show, is an internationally known singer, speaker, and life coach. Filippo offers up his own story, how one little surprise package in fur and four legs transformed his life unexpectedly forever and furthered his path of self-discovery. In The Little Dog That Could, Filippo brings to life the meaning of the adage, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. Through the reading of this book, you will experience the journey of real miracles that transcend time, space, and logic while gaining practical tools that will help you navigate your way. The Little Dog That Could is available through Amazon and Barnes & Noble. For more information, visit thelittledogthatcould.com. That's thelittledogthatcould.com.
listening to the Life Changes Show, live from Vortex Dome LA, with your host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can visit us online at lifechangesshow.com, via Twitter at Life Changes Show, and Facebook at the Life Changes Show.
Like I said before, I'm enjoying this conversation with our guest, Krista Nerestant, and we're titled the show Indestructible, The Hidden Gifts of Trauma, which is the title of the book that Krista has written that we are talking about, along with so many other things that are happening in her life or have happened, and she's done some wonderful things with them. And Krista, speaking of wonderful things, since you did mention forgiveness as one of the top of the seven of the gifts, and also one of the tips of overcoming trauma and loving yourself, what I know you do three must do steps to take when you have to forgive someone you don't want to. Could you give us one, please?
The process of forgiveness is vulnerability. Okay, vulnerability is something that, and honest vulnerability too, right? And understanding, okay, being aware of, yes, we know exactly what that counterpart did to us to get us in this state. But we also have to reflect on, you know, and being honest on how are we also responding to that experience. Because that's no longer on them. That's on us. Yeah, that's a tough one. I mean, we're literally moving past like all the healing. that, right? And so take your time. Be gentle. Be gentle with your journey. There's no deadline to the healing journey. There's no deadline. You know, you get on, you get off, you come back on. It's really, but what you need to hold on to, what you need to understand is that healing is part of the journey. Healing is part of the process. And to fully do that, to fully detach, to let go of something, is to allow forgiveness, not only for the other person, but forgive yourself.
So I like that. I wanted to go there, but thought, oh, we don't have time because it's such a good one. But you know what? In a couple of minutes, it's so important. And so what do you say to the person who said, well, I didn't do anything. He did it all, or she did it all, or they did it all.
Right. That doesn't work.
I don't mean to laugh. No, I know. It's a real thing.
I know. And trust me, if we had a 45-minute thing, we could unpack
at least.
Right? We could.
Well, were you there ever? It's like, you know, he did, she did, they did.
Oh my God, yes. Totally. You know, totally. I blame my mom for a lot of things. I blame my father for a lot of things. I mean, at 7 years old, I literally contracted myself to make, in a mental level, that I will never become my mother or marry a man like my father. That was at seven, I made that decision. And so in a way, you know, I did a lot of the things that, again, you know, my past dictated a lot of my future. And thank God, not in a bad way, you know, in a productive way. But still, it took a toll on me. It took a toll on me on making decisions based on them and not based on me.
Yeah. And to go on to find love after watching relationships that aren't necessarily full of love, right?
Indeed. And having to gain that healthy love, that healthy partnership. Would respect, value, and honoring each other's presence and individual selves. It's amazing. Yeah.
You know, like so many things, people can have an experience, and then one person that has the experience or could go one way, and someone who has a similar experience could go another way. Right. And those that have gone the way of, like you've described, to this place where you are now, thankfully, you're writing about it and sharing about it. For those who can't go there, don't know how, or because they're good at something else, but this wasn't what they were good at, or maybe they had other lessons to learn in the other direction.
My one of the greatest doctors, I love him, Dr. Gabor Mate. He had said, he's a doctor for addiction, and he always presented this question. It's not about why the addiction, it's why the pain. And it really was like, I was mind blown at that moment, because we hold on to something in a way, it's serving us, but is it how is it serving you now? How is it serving you now? Mm. And the moment that you recognize, you know, that question, you know, asking questions to oneself is one of my biggest tips to anyone. Ask yourself these questions. Are you happy? When I say we, I'm talking about, you know, your four bodies, your mental, physical, emotional, spiritual body. All of them have to talk, right? They all have to jive. They all have to align, right? And so, am I happy? You know, how do we feel? Do we feel good? Do we feel, you know, are we, is this healthy? Oh, that's the one of the best questions to ask. Is this healthy? Because you can talk to yourself to oblivion, you know, and understanding, you know, what's your dialogue like, right? The most important conversation you will ever have is the one with yourself. Are we self-critical? Are we self-judgmental? Right? Don't worry, everybody else will do that for you already. Everybody will always have an opinion of you. What's your opinion of yourself?
Right. Well, I couldn't agree more, and I know that the conversation we've been having is very important, and I also know that I am happy that we have connected, and I look forward to more with you. In the meantime, this is you've given us a lot. You've shared with us from a place that it feels very allowing for us to be able to look at ourselves and say, where am I not like that? Because I think I'd like some of that, right?
I'm so excited for the journey on everybody's going to have when they do this work.
Right? Agreed. So if you'd like to have a journey with our guest, Krista Neristat, she is available at self-ishlifestyle.com. And she's on Instagram as well at Selfish Lifestyle Approach. You can find her on YouTube, and she's everywhere, and hopefully will be even more places. And her book is available where books are sold. Krista, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so grateful. Thank you.
This has been wonderful. Looking forward to more, as I said. Okay, and with that, we have our Ask Dorothy question.
Dear Dorothy, this is Marcus, and I am so grateful for all of the help that you have given me in our sessions. I shared with you that I have fallen in love, and I really thought that this would turn into a lifetime commitment. She said she loved me and that everything was going great. I felt my romantic future was totally secure, and then out of the blue, she wrote me a letter telling me that we were through. I turned down my life's dream job to be with this woman, and I can't believe that she would do this to me. How could I have fallen in love with such a horrible person, and what have I done to deserve this kind of treatment? She met me and handed me a letter telling me she was breaking up with me. What kind of human being would do something like that instead of just talking to me? She has ruined my life. Please help me find the words to tell her how bad and wrong she is.
My dear Marcus, please get a grip. You are one of the smartest and most amazing human beings I have met this lifetime. And I'm shocked and dismayed that here you are showing up pretending to be a certified victim. She is not a horrible person, and your life is only ruined if you perceive it to be. In the past, I did something similar with my son. He couldn't hear me, so I wrote him a 10-page letter and hand-delivered it and told him that after he had read it 3 times, we could talk. Why did I do it this way, you ask? The answer is simple. He could not and would not listen or hear me when I tried to discuss the things that mattered the most to me in our relationship. I intuit that this is what is going on with the two of you, Marcus. You are the divine child of God, and you are the power in your world, and it is only you who can ruin your life. You have chosen to see yourself as a victim when nothing could be further from the truth. You, Marcus, are the one who chose to give up your lifelong dream of your idea of the perfect job to be with the woman you believe to be your romantic partner this lifetime. Knowing both of you, I never knew that you had discussed a future with her that included you giving up an opportunity to experience your idea of your perfect job. I know she would have encouraged you to take the job and see if it was what you thought it to be. So I ask you, please, to love yourself enough to examine your role in this drama and to learn from it so that you do not repeat it in the future. I feel you fell into the assumption world instead of discussing your truths with this woman. And I trust that you will recognize your choices here and choose to make better ones in your future relationships. You are a brilliant and a good man, and I feel you will begin to consciously co-create a wonderful future for yourself once you examine your choices and your decisions in this situation.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Dorothy. And if you have a question for Ask Dorothy, write her at askdorothy@lifechangesshow.com. And we'll be right back with our musical guest, My Dear Wendy, on the Life Changes Show at Home Edition right after this.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening. Someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
The Life Changes Show is a premier radio show presented by the Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people, celebrities, corporate giants, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart, integrity, and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your lives through the Life Changes Show, LifeChangesNetwork.com, and through guest appearances on other inspiring shows and events. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching, a private consultation with one of us, corporate or live event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, please email us at info@LifeChangesNetwork.com.
We're back. I am Filippo, and our musical guest is indie rock singer, songwriter, Amanda Gunnels, also known as My Dear Wendy. Welcome, My Dear Wendy, to the show.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm so excited to be a part of this.
We're happy to have you. And so, Amanda, I mentioned your name because you work a lot under that name. But as a singer, you're singing as My Dear Wendy. How did that come to be?
Yes. Well, the My Dear Wendy thing started when I was in college. It was really funny, actually. A teacher in one of my classes, we had a name mix up, and somehow I became Wendy to all of my classmates for a long time. And, you know, I don't know how it happened, but it stuck. And I originally thought it might be a song, but then, you know, I realized that my name was not very legible or clearly spoken over a microphone. You know, it was hard to understand when I was at shows. So I finally kind of thought about it and went, you know, this could be my alter ego. This could be my stage for my original music, My Dear Wendy. You know, people already think my name's Wendy. I will respond to it. It's my other persona, and it worked a lot better than Gunnels over the microphone. So it stuck.
It's a sweet story, and it's interesting because My Dear Wendy, you didn't just use Wendy as a name, but it's like you're addressing her every time you're introduced.
Yeah, I think that came from when I was originally going to make it a song, and so I was kind of addressing this other person, and I just kind of like the sound of it, and
I like the sound of it too. I like the sound of it too. And I like the sound of your music, actually. And a lot of people do. We know that. And one, we want to thank Liz Fole for having introduced us to you, because we didn't know of you before. And now we're glad that we do. And we're glad that we're letting so many people, more people, know about you. So, My Dear Wendy, if I can call you.
Yeah.
I like that. I'm not going to call you Amanda. I'm going to call you My Dear Wendy.
Okay.
You are going to sing for us a song. Did this just come out, this first song you're going to sing?
Yes. Yeah, this is from my most recent album. I put out the first part. It's going to be a two-parter, but the first part came out in April this year, just a couple months ago.
Okay. Oh, exciting. Okay. So it's been out. We have the official video posted on our webpage, and we're going to get to hear a live unplugged version. Now, My Dear Wendy plays a lot of instruments, including the bass guitar, the acoustic guitar, drums and vocals, and her main instrument is the piano, and you're going to be playing all of those all at once, right?
I wish I could. I'd be like the stage guys.
No, you don't. You have to have 12 arms.
No, this one I'll play on guitar. So.
Okay. Well, here is My Dear Wendy performing her song, Head Against the Wall, live on the Life Changes Show at Home Edition.
Here we go. Banging my head against the wall, 'cause it doesn't make sense how we got here. They said the apple shouldn't fall, but now I've landed way out here. I never felt so disconnected from you than I do now. The biggest side of me doesn't belong somehow. But I can feel my spirit lift as I walk away. Still one part of me holds a sorrow that I can't explain. No matter how hard I try, I just don't understand. I'm banging my head against the wall, 'cause it doesn't make sense how we got here. They said the apple shouldn't fall, but now I've landed way out here. Child, don't you run too far away from this tree. But I was born with all these scars, what happened to me? And I wish that it could all
be different now. In the distance somewhere, maybe I will be found. Put down my head and cry, 'cause I don't understand. I'm banging my head against the wall, 'cause it doesn't make sense how we got here. They said the apple shouldn't fall, but now I've landed way out here. It's keeping me awake all night long. Have you got anything left to say before I'm too far gone? I'm banging my head against the wall, 'cause it doesn't make sense how we got here. They said the apple shouldn't fall, but now I've landed way out here. Never felt so disconnected from you than I do now.
My dear Wendy, thank you so much. Actually, mydearwendy.com is her website. How easy is that? My dear Wendy, WENDY.com. Of course, she's on Instagram and Spotify and YouTube, and you can find her all over the place. On Instagram, it'd be my_dear_Wendy. So, my dear Wendy, you've written a lot of songs, and some of them have been on different shows, including The Young and the Restless. Was there a fun scene that one of your songs was used on that? I mean, I know several of them were used, but yeah. Any like fun to watch, like fun moment, like, oh, look what they did with that.
Well, I got really excited in general, you know, hearing it. Yeah. On a TV show, I was like, oh my gosh, yeah. That's me. they usually have my songs when they do this cafe scene. So, you know, sometimes they're talking about something cool. Usually it's gossip or rumor or something, you know, but they're in a coffee shop. And so my song will be playing as the coffee shop music in the back. And it's really
okay.
Cool.
Okay. Very good. And so... You play all these instruments, and now you're going to play the piano. But the piano, that was always near and dear to your heart from childhood?
Yes. So I started on piano as a classical mm-hmm. pianist, and I just completely fell in love with the instrument. And, I learned guitar because when I first started, I couldn't really translate piano from classical to contemporary. So that's when I picked up guitar because I couldn't do that. And then once I got into college and actually went to music school, then I learned how to incorporate the piano back into my songwriting.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Okay, that makes sense. You know, that makes so much sense. Okay. Well, then... this next song, I think is kind of funny because it's called Changes, and yes. it's near and dear to the show. But this is a change of an interesting kind. Is it about like leaving somebody, or wanting to, or needing to, or shoulda, coulda, woulda, or something like that, right?
Yeah, you know, I guess I was trying to think of the best way to describe it. You know, I thought coming of age was a little too extreme, but in the sense of, you know, when you grow, which I thought was actually really cool, the theme of the show with the speaker too was, mm-hmm. you know, growing up and kind of realizing that there were people or things, you know, that were in your life that weren't good, that they, mm-hmm. you know, were kind of holding you into this box or holding you into what they thought or it shot anything. That you should be, and kind of realizing that and owning yourself and being like, no, like it's time for me to make some changes. I got to move on, and I can do this. I can stand up for myself and move forward.
And in essence, you're doing what she says. You're being there for yourself. You're loving yourself, taking care of yourself, Mm-hmm. Good, as she would say, selfish. So good on you. Well, all right. Well, I'm glad you explained that, because it's even more powerful now that I understand the backstory. So I'm excited that you're going to be playing piano and, of course, singing on this song. Here is My Dear Wendy performing her song, Changes. On the Life Changes show.
<Ba-dum-tsh>.
I gave you my trust and opened up every thought that crossed my mind and took your advice when it was wrong. But oh, you've got excuses. Oh, I'm tired of your empty promises. So I'm moving on to the next thing, gonna make changes. Gonna do my own thing, gonna make changes. You build me up and made me strong, just to knock me down and watch me fall. Gonna do my own thing, gonna make changes. Changes. You took advantage of a young and hungry soul. Tried to lock me in a cage, smother my ideas and take control. But oh, I'm done pretending. Oh, the pain is finally ending. So I'm moving on to the next thing, gonna make changes. Gonna do my own thing, gonna make changes. You build me up and made me strong, just to knock me down and watch me fall. Gonna do my own thing, gonna make changes. Changes. Maybe you meant no harm, but that's just who you are. After all of this time, cut me down, but I'm still standing. So I'm moving on to the next thing, gonna make changes. Gonna do my own thing, gonna make changes. You built me up and made me strong, just to knock me down and watch me fall. Gonna do my own thing, gonna make changes. Changes.
Oh, I didn't want it to end. I was taking notes. I'm like, that's a great lyric. That's a great lyric.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
It's My Dear Wendy. And what a song for the show today.
Yeah, I thought it was It was perfect. You know, as soon as you contacted me, I was like, ooh, I just put this out like January. And I was like, I got to bring that one back out.
I am so glad you brought it back out and did the unplugged version. MyDearWendy.com. So just so you know, coming down, but I'm still standing up. Was that part of the lyric, right? You're coming down or something, but I'm still standing?
Yes. Cut me down, but I'm still standing.
But I'm still standing. And then, gotta do my own, and I didn't get far enough. Was it, I gotta do my own thing?
Yes.
Gotta do my own. And then, of course, gonna make changes. Well, good on you. And if that's autobiographical, then good on you. And I look forward to, what's that?
I just laughed. I thought, yeah.
Yeah. And gosh, I know you're in some ways just getting started. So all the best to you, because may you keep bringing this out for all of us to enjoy and to subtly, not so subtly, learn what we can do with our lives as well. Right. So So my dear Wendy, WENDY.com. What a pleasure.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me on the show today. It was a great experience.
Oh, I'm so glad. Thank you. So once again, my dear Wendy, a big thank you. And also, again, a big thank you to Krista Naristant. And with that, that is our show. On behalf of our executive producer, Dorothy Lee Donahue, our producer and co-host, Mark Legere, I am your host, Filippo Voltaggio, reminding you that as your life changes, like ours surely did tonight, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at The Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.